headlines. Speaking in Tehran, Iraq's prime minister pledges that Baghdad will never allow terrorists to use Iraqi territory to attack neighboring Iran. A day of bloodshed in the occupied territories. Four more Palestinian fatalities were added to the list of Israeli crimes. Also ahead, President Zelensky urges Ukrainian people to brace for more coal and power outages in anticipation for fresh Russian missile strikes. Welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran's President Ibrahim Raisi says both Tehran and Baghdad agree on the significance of the fight on terror and any other source of insecurity in the region. Raisi made these comments during a joint press conference with a visiting Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed al-Sudani after the two officials held talks in Tehran. Iranian president said foreign interference will not bring security and stability to the region. He added that any kind of meddling will only add to regional problems. The Iraqi prime minister, for his part, pledged that Baghdad will never allow terrorists to use Iraqi territory to attack neighboring Iran. Tehran has called on Baghdad to stop activities of terrorist groups along joint borders. Iran has also conducted a number of strikes on terrorist hideouts in Iraq's Kurdistan Autonomous Region. Earlier, we were joined by journalist and political commentator Saeed Mohsen Abbas. He says U.S. and Israeli forces have used the Iraqi Kurdistan region to try to infiltrate into Iran.
The reality is that American, Israeli forces, deep state forces, intelligence forces use that region as a way of trying to infiltrate Iran by supplying Kurdish terrorists with weapons, logistics, and they have them holed up in the mountains there. And unless, of course, at the Iraqi end, on the Kurdish controlled Iraqi end, there is a mechanism to stop these people infiltrating Iran. Of course, it will lead to what's been happening, which is that many of these Kurdish terrorist forces have been part and parcel of the riots and the conflict and the terrorism that's been initiated, especially over the last few months. So Barzani had made two trips to Baghdad just last week, and there's been an agreement, apparently, for Iraqi armed forces and the Kurdish Peshmerga to work together to control this border with Iran and to curb this Kurdish terror insurgency, essentially. Iraq knows that it has a responsibility to take its own action and not have to let Iran deal with this situation. So it is very significant that the Iraqi PM has come over and confirmed their support in all these matters.
Iran and U.S. national football teams will face off in their last Group B match of the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar in just a few hours. During a press conference before the match, our correspondent asked the captain of the American team about the rampant racial discrimination in the U.S., and here's what Tyler Adams had to say.
Hello, hi. Tyler, this question is for you. My name is Mila Javamadi from Press TV. Are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people in its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movement over the past few years. Are you okay to be representing the U.S. meanwhile there's so much discrimination happening against black people in America?
Yeah, that being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures and kind of assimilate into different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. You know, growing up for me, I grew up in a white family with obviously an African American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that. And obviously, it takes longer to understand. And through education, I think it's super important. Yeah, it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, That's the most important thing.
Another Palestinian falls victim to Israeli violence in the occupied West Bank, taking the total number of regime killings in the past 24 hours to 4. And the latest incident, Israeli forces shot dead a man in an alleged car ramming near Ramallah. Earlier, regime troopers fatally shot 2 young men near the city. A 4th Palestinian was shot in the head during a raid on the town of Beit Amr in Al-Khalil. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says such developments will only strengthen the nation's uprising against the occupying regime. Israel has been carrying out deadly attacks against Palestinians in the occupied West Bank almost on a daily basis. The regime forces have killed more than 200 Palestinians in the area, as well as in Gaza so far this year. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandel, joined us earlier with more details regarding the Israeli killing of Palestinians.
The Israeli forces continue to use lethal force against the Palestinians under unjustified reasons. The recent victim killed by the Israeli forces is in his 40s, a Palestinian man. The Israeli military said that he rammed his vehicle at an Israeli settler or a number of Israeli settlers at an intersection near one of the illegal settlements close to the Palestinian village of Mukhmas near Ramallah. The Israeli forces chased this Palestinian man. Then they used their weapons and their arms and killed him. They didn't even investigate whether it was an accident or he lost control over his vehicle. Before this incident, as you have said, 2 Palestinian brothers were shot by the Israeli forces, 22-year-old Jawad Rimawi and 21-year-old Dhafir Rimawi, from the Palestinian town of Beit Rima near Ramallah. Israeli forces raided the village of Kfar Ayn early morning, and confrontations took place between the Palestinian residents and Israeli forces as usual. The troops used live rounds against the protesters, killing those 2 Palestinian brothers and wounding others.
An international conference has been held in the Gaza Strip to highlight the Israeli blockade and its dire consequences on Palestinians. The Israeli regime has kept the Gaza Strip under a tight blockade since 2007. Ashraf Shannon reports.
Hamas's Council on International Relations has held an international conference on the impact of the Israeli blockade. The event aims to shed light on the crippling Israeli blockade on more than 2 million Palestinians living in the Gaza Strip. The event was attended by figures representing the Gaza Government Committee and civil society organizations. They discussed ways to tackle the repercussions of the blockade. Living conditions and the standard of living in the Gaza Strip have been rapidly deteriorating under the Israeli blockade. The Hamas movement says Western countries, mainly the United States, are supporting the Israeli blockade.
The Israeli siege, unfortunately supported by the international community, mainly the Americans, have converted Gaza into the biggest open-air prison on earth. We can see the catastrophic impacts of this siege in every corner here in the Gaza Strip, which can develop up to a crime against humanity or an ethnic cleansing.
Speakers via video conference included Francesca Albanese, the special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Palestine, as well as Richard Falk, the chairman of the Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor. Statistics show that most Gazans are impoverished and rely on handouts to survive because of the blockade.
More than 2 million Palestinians, most of them children, women, elders, and patients, are suffering from this catastrophic condition due to the continuous blockade for more than 15 years. The international community silence leads to continue such offensive on Palestinians.
Unemployment and poverty rates have skyrocketed under the blockade. At the conference, attendees called for the immediate lifting of the inhumane siege.
This is a call to the world to stop its a silence over what's been going on the Gaza Strip, and to urge all governments of the world in Europe and the United States and other parties around the world to intervene actively to end this illegal and punishing siege on the Gaza Strip population.
In its final communique, the conference announced that the Gaza Strip is already devastated by the Israeli blockade and is edging closer to breaking point. The prolonged blockade has undermined all aspects of life in the Gaza Strip since 2007. Experts say the inhumane Israeli practices have deprived Palestinians of their rights. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Despite rising Islamophobia across the globe, the Indian subcontinent is witnessing a massive trend in sales and purchases of Islamic dresses such as abaya and hijabs, beside other clothing. Munawar Zaman reports from New Delhi.
In the crowded and bustling lane of South Delhi suburbs, it's a carnival here every day. People flock to this market every evening to buy a central market can offer. With lanes and by-lanes across the street, this is a shopping heaven among local Muslims. Zaid, a local shopkeeper, says this market is very popular, especially among women, and in demand these days are Islamic outfits of latest designs. Outfits such as abayas and hijabs, prayer outfits and niqab, thobes and jubbas and sportswear are trending.
We usually have demands for the latest varieties of clothing, especially young college students. Our business has always been good, but since that hijab rule controversy, the sales of abayas and other related dresses has gone up.
Shagufta, a student, says it's not all about hijab, but it's about my choice to wear hijab. She says rather than politicians indulging in matters of Muslims that fetches vote, why don't they stop hate crimes, lynchings, and bulldozing Muslim homes? Anti-Islamic elements want to portray to the world that Islam is about oppressing women, but in reality, it's about protecting women, safeguarding women, and treating them with utmost dignity.
I have chosen this dress and it's the right way and the right path, I think. The Islamic dress makes me safe, secured, and above all, it looks beautiful on women in general. Actually, it's my choice because God Almighty wants me to cover myself in order to preserve my beauty.
Based on reports and market evaluations, Islamic clothing market will see a massive growth by 2028. Many brands are in line for manufacturing.
Many women I spoke with believe that the hijab row is nothing more than a political stunt ahead of upcoming elections. They say political parties are exploiting such issues to galvanize people into voting for them.
In recent months, ban on Islamic headscarves or hijab in southern India outraged the Muslim community, saying it's an outright attack on their faith or choice, which the constitution guarantees to safeguard. Observers say anti-Muslim rhetoric flared more aggressively since ruling BJP attained power in 2014. They say most elections in India since 2014 have been overly polarized, and religious divide has been the trump card to garner votes and win elections. Munawar Zaman, New Delhi.
The Ukrainian president has warned his countrymen to prepare for new Russian attacks on infrastructure, saying the raids will not stop until Moscow runs out of missiles. Volodymyr Zelensky said he expects the attacks this week to be as bad as last week. He was referring to the recent Russian missiles targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Last week's barrage was the worst yet, leaving millions of people without electricity and water supplies. NATO, which has been a key ally of Ukraine in the war, has also predicted more attacks on Ukraine's power grid and infrastructure.
President Putin is now trying to use a weapon, use the winter as a weapon of war against Ukraine. And this is horrific, and we need to be prepared for more attacks. That's the reason why NATO allies have stepped up their support to Ukraine.
Stoltenberg was speaking ahead of a meeting of NATO foreign ministers in Bucharest on Tuesday and Wednesday. The NATO chief said that supplying Ukraine with air defense systems is likely to be high on the agenda. He added that ministers would also discuss providing spare parts, training, and ammunition to Kiev. The Ukrainian authorities say the Russian missile attacks are aimed at harming civilians and amount to a war crime. Moscow has acknowledged the attack, saying it seeks to reduce Ukraine's ability to fight and push it to negotiations. It also has denied targeting civilians. Our correspondent Johnny Miller in Donetsk says that Russia is trying to make it difficult for Ukraine to maneuver in the battlefield.
Well, yes, these huge barrages by Russia, it's been going on for about a month now. Many of us were confused about why Russia didn't start hitting the energy infrastructure way back in February, but now they are hitting it hard. I've been told that Russia has moved some new military hardware into the Black Sea in preparation for more of these attacks. And life for normal Ukrainian citizens is getting desperate in many places. It depends where you are in Ukraine, but many places left without electricity or only electricity for a couple of hours a day, difficulties finding water. And there is a real danger if heating goes in these cities. It'd be very difficult to see how people can continue living there, frankly. And of course, if it hits hospitals and places like that, it could cause significant loss of life. Russia very much trying to make it's not only difficult for Ukraine to maneuver on the battlefield, but also for them to be able to look after the basic needs of their people. And so an attempt to try and bring Ukraine very much to its knees.
Moving on to China, where calm is restored after a weekend of protests against restrictive COVID policies. The capital, Beijing, and Shanghai, people are back to the daily routine of mass testing for coronavirus, and that is part of China's zero COVID strategy to contain the virus that has infected hundreds of people in the cities over the past days. Amid lockdowns imposed under the policy, some Chinese cities have witnessed street protests against restrictions. The rallies were reportedly fueled by a fire at a building in Xinjiang region. It is said that a lockdown in the area impeded rescue efforts and led to the deaths of some residents. The government, however, has rejected any links between the protests and the incident. And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight.
In Britain, water company bosses have blamed government inaction for a lack of progress in stopping sewage pollution of rivers and beaches. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Observer has more for us. Water company bosses have blamed government inaction for a lack of progress in stopping sewage pollution, newly revealed letters show. According to data from the Environment Agency, sewage has been dumped into the seas and rivers around the United Kingdom more than 770,000 times over the course of 2020 and 2021, the equivalent of almost 6 million hours. During his short stint as Environment Secretary, Ranil Jayawardena demanded that every water company boss write to him with plans to reduce storm overflows where human waste is pumped into rivers and onto beaches. The Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs did not publicly release these letters until months later, when obliged to under the Freedom of Information Act. In the letters, the water company chief executives made scathing comments about the lack of action from government on the sewage scandal. They complained that the government had failed to bring in new laws as a reason for sewage discharges. The water companies complained about two pieces of legislation in particular: regulations for drainage systems on new developments passed in 2010 but not yet enforced in England. Wales enforced the legislation in 2018. And a ban on wet wipes, which are not biodegradable, proposed in a private member's bill by the Labour MP Fleur Anderson, but ignored by the Conservative government. The Liberal Democrat environment spokesperson, Tim Farron, said, "It is a bleak day for the government when even the water companies are blaming their inaction for the sewage crisis. No wonder the Environment Department sat on these letters for so long. They are so embarrassing. They prove successive Conservative ministers have buried their heads in the sand while Britain's coastlines have been polluted with foul sewage. These are the same water company executives who paid themselves insulting bonuses worth millions of pounds, all while destroying rivers and lakes. The government needs to get its act together. Years of Conservative chaos has delayed tackling this crisis. This is an environmental scandal which is sadly here to stay." The Chief Executive Officer of Anglian Water, Peter Simpson, said the government had not acted to make sure homes were built sustainably, with the sewage system taken into account. If water companies were made statutory consultees on planning developments, not just local plans, and if Schedule 3 of the Flood and Water Management Act were enacted, then our role in ensuring sustainable growth would be greatly enhanced. In addition, Peter Simpson called for a ban on the sale of non-biodegradable wet wipes. "We also believe the time has come to enforce a complete ban on the sale of wet wipes that do not adhere to fine-to-flush standards." The sector has worked closely with the manufacturers and retailers on the development of this standard, but adoption is not happening quickly enough. The Chief Executive Officer of Thames Water, Sarah Bentley, called for regulations on drainage in new developments. "The biggest single driver of discharge of untreated sewage into the environment is excess rainfall coming through our sewage treatment works, overwhelming them. By choosing to enact Schedule 3 of the Flood and Water Management Act 2010, government can significantly reduce the rate of surface water discharging to our network, meaning more available capacity for new connections, for new development, and a lower risk of spills from combined sewer overflows." The London Evening Standard has also covered the same story. The government's failure to control the water industry is to blame for the sorry mess of sewage pumped into Britain's beaches, an environmental campaigner has said. Fergal Sharkey, an environmental campaigner, said 3 decades of poorly regulated profiteering among water companies and a vacuum of political oversight has resulted in a state of extraordinary chaos. Reacting to reports that monitors being used for measuring the levels of sewage in the sea are faulty, he warned that the beachgoers have no clear picture of the amount of waste in the water that they swim in. Fergal Sharkey told the BBC, "It appears that over the last 6 years, water companies have now spent almost 9.5 million hours dumping sewage into the environment. And if the data is as faulty as it seems, that number could be a multiple of that by another multiplier of your choosing. It's just a desperate sign of the extraordinary state of chaos that this industry has managed to get itself into." Fergal Sharkey added, "I'm afraid what you're looking at is simply the result of 30 years of underinvestment by the water industry, 30 years of profiteering, 30 years of regulatory failure, and 30 years of a vacuum of political oversight and government failing to take proper control for this industry." Mr. Sharkey added the problems were definitely linked to Brexit, citing a legal challenge launched by the European Commission against the United Kingdom for allowing water companies to discharge sewage into the natural environment. He said, "In fact, just before Brexit, I have reason to believe the European Commission was about to take the United Kingdom back to court to ask the court to start issuing a financial penalty against the United Kingdom." Environment Agency data shows water companies are failing to monitor sewage discharges along the coastline, including at British seaside resorts, according to analysis by the Liberal Democrats. The party found that event duration monitors used by firms across the United Kingdom either did not work for at least 90% of the time or had not been installed at all. Environment spokesperson for the Liberal Democrats, Tim Farron, said, "These water companies could be guilty of gross negligence by failing to install sewage monitors. This is a national scandal and these new figures stink of a cover-up. Britain's seaside resorts are being swamped by foul sewage, yet the government is nowhere to be found. Why on earth are Conservative ministers letting them get away with this?" It comes after dozens of pollution warnings were issued for beaches and swimming spots in England and Wales following heavy rain that overwhelmed the sewage system.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Was-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the second sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam, he gives some explanation with regards to the actual situation of the communities at that time that led to the coming of the messengers and the prophets. And we discussed and came to this conclusion that the actual problem were spiritual problems that led to those material problems of that community, of those communities. And it was not that the prophets just came to solve some material issues of the community. They saw there was some material problem and they came to just solve that through belief. In other words, some of the people with wrong understanding, with wrong beliefs, they say that these prophets and messengers were just a result of sociological circumstance, which is absolutely not correct. And we discussed that previously, that it is actually the thoughts of the people, those spiritual problems that people have in their hearts, that actually lead to those social problems or social and political difficulties in the community. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the prophets came to block and fill this vacuum that was created because of these misguidances and these spiritual maladies. Inshallah, we shall discuss about this in the coming segment.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Coming back to our topic, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that how did the messengers come and solve these problems, these spiritual problems? They brought books of guidances, they came with a religion, and all of them was in the direction that وَاحْتِجَاجًا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. They came with these things as arguments, very clear arguments for people to come out on the state of confusion. And if you notice, the guidance and you can say the arguments of the prophets were very simple yet potent. The arguments of the prophets were very simple but potent. They would clearly identify those problems and they knew exactly what to speak when and to whom. And this was something amazing that was there in the prophets and messengers of God. Their arguments were very clear. They didn't come with complicated arguments that, let's say, philosophers would come and give. Of course, that doesn't mean we are against philosophy. Philosophy is a way of thinking. It's a tool that allows you to think in the right way. It gives you that ability to understand and analyze the realities of this world in a correct manner. It is something very nice. It's a good tool for people who want to understand deeper about this world. But to just answer some few questions about the reality of this world and about the problems that exist in this world and how to come out of those spiritual maladies, that required simple, clear-cut arguments. Of course, deep. There were clear-cut arguments that were also simple, but they had a deeper dimension that could be sought by people who really want to seek it. And, some people today, they come to this conclusion that, you don't need to study philosophy and logic and all of these. These are from Aristotle and Plato and all of that. Unfortunately, these people, I feel that they don't have good taste with regards to reality. They don't understand that these discussions of philosophy are not something that you can say are within the teachings of Islam. No, there are some things that are supposed to be an introduction to understand your religion. Because in philosophy, they teach you how to think, how to use your intellect in the right way. They guide the intellect in the correct manner. It's the way the intellect thinks is natural. It's a natural process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in us. But to put it in a right order, to structure it in the correct manner and keep it in a structured form, really helps people to understand in a better manner. And that's what these philosophers did. And of course, the Muslim philosophers, they came and upgraded it. They multiplied it and they turned it into a very vast subject that today, alhamdulillah, in the Hawza of Qom and the Hawzas of the Shia who are around, they teach this important subject that is of clear significance for the perfection of community and their thoughts.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, we say that the prophets came with these clear arguments. These clear arguments are the ones that actually bring change in the communities. If you look at, for example, just in the recent age when the Islamic Revolution came, for example, Imam Khomeini didn't come with a very big philosophical discussion about, you know, the harms of dictatorship and how dictatorship is causing people to become, just stooges and they can't think and all that. He didn't come with a deep philosophical discussion regarding, you know, the sociological circumstances and how we need to come out of this and all. Imam Khomeini came with clear arguments. He told the people that, look, your religion is in danger. It is very clear. You're seeing when these dictators are in power, they do not allow you freedom to believe in the right way and to act in the correct manner. See what has happened to your morals. See where you're going. Is this really that path that was taught to you by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran? The people recognized it. It was not something confusing. It was not a deep philosophical discussion. People are ready to understand simple arguments which are clear-cut, which can go deeper if a person seeks it. People do that. And if really communities become in a state of misguidance and confusion, if someone is able to give these clear-cut arguments and these clear-cut guidances in this manner, then definitely that person will be doing something prophetic. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps us. He helps us in the path of guidance. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
A new report shows that social media giants, including Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube, have failed to curb the spread of right-wing extremism and disinformation on their platforms regarding the U.S. midterm elections. Meanwhile, a new poll shows that over 2 in 5 Americans say they are concerned about being subject to intimidation or violence when voting in the midterms. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the details, please. The website of Common Dreams wrote, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube are failing to curb the spread of right-wing extremism and disinformation on their platforms and must immediately implement safeguards with the pivotal U.S. midterm elections less than 2 weeks away, a watchdog has warned recently. In empty promises, inside Big Tech's weak effort to fight hate and lies in 2022, Free Press analyzed the policies of the 4 social media giants to measure how prepared each one is to combat Trump-backed efforts to sow doubts about upcoming electoral outcomes. According to Free Press, the problem is just as dire in advance of the 2022 U.S. midterms as it was during the nation's 2020 elections. In particular, the report found that the major social media networks have failed to clearly update their election integrity systems in time for the elections, created a labyrinth of company commitments, announcements, and policies that make it difficult to assess what they are really doing, if anything, to protect users, and failed to close what they call newsworthiness or public interest exceptions that give prominent users and politicians a get-out-of-jail-free card and allow them to post lies without consequences from the platforms. Free Press warned that these failures are likely to be felt not only at polling stations on November 8, but also on the streets. The unchecked spread of online lies about the 2020 election fueled real-world violence on January 6, said Nora Benavides, report author and senior counsel and director of digital justice and civil rights at Free Press, adding, and although most people in the United States now believe that big tech should do more to curb the online spread of disinformation and incitements to violence, social media companies keep failing to protect users. As the report notes, Change the Terms, a coalition of more than 60 civil and consumer rights organizations, developed a set of 15 priority reforms for social media companies to implement ahead of the midterm elections that would fight algorithmic applications of hate and lies, protect users across all languages, and increase company transparency. Our coalition, of which Free Press is a founding member, then met with Meta, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube throughout the summer 2022, calling on each company to implement these 15 priority reforms as soon as possible and to share more data about their enforcement practices around election integrity. Although tech companies had promised to fight disinformation and hate on their platforms this fall, there is a notable gap between what the companies say they want to do and what they actually do in practice. In sum, platforms do not have sufficient policies, practices, AI, or human capital in place to materially mitigate harm ahead of and during the November midterms. Benen Davies said, even in writing, platforms like Meta, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube can't commit to the most basic online protections to limit the spread of the disinformation and hate. And in practice, our research shows ongoing gaps in companies' enforcement of their own meager safety policies. She added, these are systematic failures across all of the major social media companies that show how little the companies care about safeguarding elections and fighting extremism and lies on their platforms. After Twitter's new mega billionaire owner Elon Musk fired several of the platform's key leaders immediately upon taking over, Benavides warned that content moderation on the site is poised to become even worse. Free Press urged Facebook parent company Meta, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube to take the following steps to stem the spread of bigotry and lies on their platforms, including stop amplifying hate and disinformation content and implement algorithms without discrimination. Protect people equally around the world and across languages through increased resourcing for civic integrity teams year-round and boost transparency about company business models and moderation and enforcement practices, ensuring access to data for external researchers and journalists. We are less than 2 weeks from the U.S. midterms. Benavides tweeted, adding, over 30 other national elections have occurred around the world this year, featuring conspiracy theories and lies fanned by online rhetoric that social media companies allow to flourish. What will it take for the culture of big tech to change? What will it take for civil and human rights to become a real priority with evidence to show for it? Meanwhile, the website of Truth Out wrote, over 2 in 5 Americans polled over the past week say they are concerned about being subject to intimidation or violence when voting in the midterms. New polling finds in an alarming show of the state of democracy in the U.S. According to a poll from Reuters Ipsos of over 4,400 U.S. adults, about 43% of Americans say they are worried about facing threats at polling locations. Democrats are more likely to be concerned about violence at about 51% versus Republicans 38%, likely fueled at least in part by the far right's attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Americans are also concerned that groups will carry out violence after the election if they are unsatisfied with the outcome. The poll found, with over 2 in 3 Americans saying as such. The poll comes as there have been reports of armed far-right vigilantes intimidating voters in Arizona. Though there have not yet been reports of violence, the vigilantes have apparently been taking pictures of people using ballot drop boxes and threatening to post their information online. The vigilantes appear to have been galvanized by debunked right-wing claims that so-called ballot mules are stuffing boxes with ballots for Democrats. While there is zero evidence of widespread voter fraud or anything resembling ballot stuffing, the belief appears to have become so entrenched that vigilantes are taking it upon themselves to supposedly guard ballot boxes. Despite having no basis in reality, voter fraud has become a concern among the public as well. The Reuters Ipsos poll found that nearly half of Americans think that voter fraud is a widespread problem. While only 40% disagree, Republicans are more likely to believe in this lie popularized by Donald Trump, with two-thirds of Republicans saying they believe that widespread voter fraud is an issue, and about one-third of Democrats saying as such. There have been other threats to voters from the right. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis' fascist election police arrested 20 people earlier this month, claiming that they knowingly violated election guidelines. But like many others who have been prosecuted for election-related offenses, those arrested were simply unaware of their voter eligibility status. In this case, some of the voters arrested were supposedly previously told that they were eligible to vote, but then they were arrested for illegally registering. At least 13 of the people who were arrested were black. The fact that concerns of violence in relation to casting a vote are so widespread and that there are already reports of intimidation is an alarming show of the erosion of democracy in the U.S. The far right has been ramping up voter suppression efforts in recent years. Between the Republican Party's gerrymandering, plans to mass challenge election results and infiltrate Democratic majority polling places or bills to flat out allow Republican officials to overturn election results, experts say the GOP is setting the stage to rig elections so that they never lose or effectively lose despite voters' will again.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very interesting topic that, you know, is one of the very important concepts within Islam, and that is the concept of the fitrat, or the divine nature. This is translated in various ways, in divine nature, primordial nature, God-centric nature, theomorphic nature. Right, so these are all different ways in which this term has been translated. This is a Quranic concept. It's taken from a very famous verse of the Holy Quran in which God says, "So set your heart on the religion as a people of pure faith, the origination of Allah, according to which He originated mankind." So in this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, we see that God Almighty, He qualifies religion as being something natural to human beings. And this is also something that has been elucidated and elaborated in the various hadiths which have been narrated regarding this verse. One of those hadiths is the hadith that we would like to recite for you today. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Every newborn is born upon the nature of Allah, the natural divine nature." There's a very famous hadith, "Kullu mauludin yuladu alal fitra." Every newborn, every baby that's born, every human being that's born, when it's born, it's naturally religious. It's naturally believes in God. In continuation, the Prophet elaborated more upon what this means. He said, meaning, the newborn is born with an inner knowledge that affirms that Allah is his creator. يعني على المعرفة بأن الله عز وجل خالقه. He knows and he affirms that God is his creator. After mentioning this, you know, after mentioning the fact that this every newborn is born with the divine nature, after mentioning this, the Prophet, he mentions another verse of the Holy Quran, which the Prophet interprets to be referring to this concept. He says, "If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will surely say Allah. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ." Some of the Quranic commentators have taken this to refer to the fact that the polytheists of the Arabian Peninsula, in which the Prophet was sent and delegated, they believed in Allah, but they had relegated the affairs of the world to certain demigods. This was their belief. But they believed that there was a God, Allah, who was above these demigods, who had created them and oversaw them, and who was the ultimate creator of the heavens and the earth. But he was not in charge of, you know, regulating the earth and taking care of it. That was handed over to these demigods. But according to this hadith, this verse of the Holy Quran wishes to say that all people believe in Allah, all people, no matter who they are. If you ask them, their inner nature, their inner divine nature would respond by saying that yes, we believe in God, and God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the divine nature in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم
صلي